Bad tidings for Detroit.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for joining me as Marketplace covers the financial crisis fallout. Some potentially devastating news for U.S. carmakers out of Europe this morning. Three big credit insurers in Europe have revoked coverage from suppliers to GM and Ford. In the past, this move has hastened the demise of several European companies. We're joined now by Marketplace's Alisa Roth in New York. Alisa, what exactly does this mean?
Well, credit insurance basically protects the suppliers if the company that they're supplying goes bankrupt. So in practical terms, this mostly affects European operations of the car makers because U.S. suppliers mostly work without insurance. It will make things more difficult for the car makers in Europe because it's just going to be harder to keep the supply chain open. But more importantly, this is really a vote of no confidence for the auto industry. So even if the government does come through with some money, things are never going to be the same in Detroit.
And on that subject, yesterday there was a big lobbying effort from the auto industry to get some of the money from the $700 billion bailout package. What are the chances that's going to happen?
Zero to none. Paulson has said that the big three are important for the U.S. economy, for the global economy, but he's sticking to his guns that $700 billion is only for the financial institutions and that if they need help, they're going to have to look elsewhere.
And elsewhere, is there anything?
Well, the big three were hoping that elsewhere would be Congress, but it's looking more and more like that's not going to happen. The Democrats have been pushing really hard for some kind of help to the auto industry, but they don't have the majority, and President Bush still has veto power over the whole thing.
So what now?
Well, they're supposed to hold on till January when President-elect Obama takes office, but it's really not clear that they can hold on that long.
Okay, Alisa Roth in New York. Thank you.
You're welcome.
After a week of losses on Wall Street, the stock markets are showing some bounce. By the close in Asia today, the markets added almost 3%, about the same in Europe so far. Wall Street gained almost 7% across the board yesterday. The Dow put on 552 points to 8835. The Nasdaq climbed 97, and the S&P 500 was up 58. Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke will give a speech in Frankfurt, Germany this morning. He'll talk about coordination between the world's central banks, something that could become a regular part of life. Here's Jeremy Hobson.
Last month, central banks surprised the markets with a coordinated half-point interest rate cut. Catherine Mann, a professor at the Brandeis International Business School, says that's something we may see more of, with one caveat.
The different central banks do have different mandates. For example, we know the European Central Bank, their mandate is price stability. It is not about global GDP.
Mann says coordination is most likely when it comes to manipulating exchange rates and least likely when it comes to regulating the financial markets. Brad Setzer at the Council on Foreign Relations sees some risk to coordination.
Even if you have a global economy, different countries are going to be at different points in their own economic cycle at different points in time.
Setzer says central banks are unlikely to wait for their counterparts to act if their own needs demand immediate attention. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Medtronic, working for improved healthcare access with Health Connect, a practical guide to community outreach. Available to patient-serving groups at medtronic.com/community. And by the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world. Online at shrm.org. The Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk is supported by the Kauffman Foundation of Kansas City, the foundation of entrepreneurship. Online at kauffman.org.
The sports world has been hit by the financial crisis just like every other industry. The NBA has cut jobs. Golf has lost some of its financial company sponsors. But NASCAR may face the toughest challenge of all. It's highly dependent on sponsorship and American carmakers. The racing season ends on Sunday, and on Monday we're hearing there could be a lot of layoffs. Our Business of Sports commentator Diana Nyad is here. Diana, is this all about the loss of sponsorship?
there are definitely sponsors that are dropping out. Ford has dropped the Ford Craftsman Truck Series. But what's really going to happen, the pink slips, are with the crew. You know, there are several teams already who have dropped 50. They've dropped 50 guys just, you know, in the last couple of weeks. But the heads are going to roll come Monday.
You know, you hear a lot of people when they talk about the automakers that they put themselves in this situation by mismanaging over the years. What about NASCAR? Has it put itself in this situation?
Well, Dale Earnhardt Jr., you know, and he's an insider, but he's the first one to say they got greedy. When the popularity rose so high and, you know, you'd have 120,000 people at some of the speedways, they decided to expand the season. This chase for the Sprint Cup has added on, you know, another full 10 weeks worth of racing. So, you know, according to Dale Earnhardt Jr. and a lot of the fans, they're just exhausted at this point. It's just they're saturated. It's too much racing.
Too much, so cut back on the schedule.
But it would also obviously cut costs. I mean, you can imagine, you know, how much fuel is being spent, how many practice laps are being run. Don't run so many parties, you know, for the week going into the races. I mean, you know, I heard through the grapevine that Joe Gibbs of Joe Gibbs Racing has asked his people to analyze if they fly their private jet at a slower speed, how much fuel that will save.
Really?
They're counting the pennies now.
And how about the fans? I mean, are they still going to the races in as many numbers? Are they still watching on TV?
The fans are definitely depleted at the racetrack. Now, plenty of empty seats. And as far as television, last weekend was the penultimate race of the season, okay? So we're building up to supposedly the drama at the end of the season. With 34 laps to go, ABC switches and puts on America's Funniest Home Videos. And NASCAR felt that was the biggest slap in the face they've ever received.
They switched it to ESPN or something?
ESPN2.
Wow. All right, Diane and I at our Business of Sports commentator. Thank you.
Thanks, Scott.
Feel free to share your thoughts with us. You can do that online at our website, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.